you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Did you guys pray already? Or
okay. Yeah, you can pray again.
Okay, well let's pray and ask God's blessing upon this study, okay? Heavenly Father, through this day, I just pray now, Father God, that your hand will be upon this study, Father God, and it'll be your words spoken through me, Father God, and not my words, Father God, that the people will be understanding and will be able to understand what I say, Father God, and that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives, Father God, to teach them what you would have them to learn today, Father God. I just pray your blessing upon this whole meeting, and Father God, I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. One of the big major misconceptions about being a Christian is that we are not going to go through trials. Well, the Bible says differently. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." You will experience trials in your life. It will happen. It says in the Word, it will happen. However, God doesn't ask us to go through them alone. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God allows us to suffer through trials in our life for our own good. A few reasons that God allows trials in our life are, number one, so that our faith will be proven genuine, 1 Peter 1:3-9. Number two, so that we would grow in patience and endurance, James 1:1-4 and verse 12. And three, because he loves us and disciplines us, Hebrews 12:1-11. Now let's look at some examples in the Bible of people overcoming trials. Let's take a look at Paul. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 27:22-25. Anybody would like to read that once you get there? Acts 27:22-25.
"But take courage, none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said.'"
Paul was shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, and persecuted, all for the cause of Christ. But God was with Paul throughout all he endured. Paul was confident that God was going to protect him. Paul was able to overcome this trial with the help of God. God was looking out for Paul, just as he looks out for every one of his children. Another person in the Bible who had to endure trials is Joseph. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 37. This is a long passage, so if anybody would like to read it, go for it. Genesis 37, let's begin reading verse 18 to 36. There are no names, at least I don't think. There are no names this time. A few, but not too many. It's okay.
I'll butcher them either way, so it's all right.
Okay, it's verse 18 to 36.
I'm like the butcher. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into the pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to the brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and the tunic of many colors that was on him. And then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. They So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And the brothers listened. Then the M traders here passed by. So the brothers passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph out and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in blood. And they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast must have devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put his sackcloth on his waist, and mourned with his sons for many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an office of Pharaoh and captain of the guard.
Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. But the Lord was with Joseph. Let's continue reading in Genesis 39. Just skip over a page, and we're going to read verse 1 to 23. Chrissy, would you like to read that?
Yes. That's the whole chapter.
No, but maybe it is.
Genesis 39?
Yeah, you want me to help you out, or you can read?
Okay,
thank you. Are you sure? Why don't we have Josiah read it for us, or half of it?
Okay, welcome to the film. Matthew.
Genesis.
No, he doesn't have a Bible.
Oh, okay, well then.
It's right here.
No,
it's not there.
No,
how New Testament. How can you know God?
Oh, well, that's fine. Just read it. It's okay.
Brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his head. And it came to pass from the time that he had been made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had made, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all that he had. Whew, I'm trying to get. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he saved the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and was well favored. And it came to pass that these things that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me is in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. So I want to go there. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her.
Yeah, I'll finish reading. It says, "But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. So it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside.' So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Joseph was a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar saw that everything that he did prospered in the hands of Joseph. Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under Joseph's authority. Then, as we read further into Genesis, we saw that Joseph was put into prison unjustly. However, yet again, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. God gave Joseph favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners in the prison. So we see that God was watching over Joseph throughout everything he endured. Another example of someone overcoming trials is Daniel. You can read about this in Daniel 6. Basically, Daniel was put into a den of lions because he prayed openly to God instead of King Darius. But once again, the Lord was with Daniel. Turn to Daniel 6, and we'll continue reading. There you go. I'll read it. It says right here, 6, verse 20 to 23. It says, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Once again, the Lord was with Daniel. So as we can see, God protected Daniel from the mouths of the lions. All three of these men were faithful servants of God, and because of this, God was with them during their trials and worked everything out for good. There are a few things to remember when we endure trials. Number one, Jesus will never leave nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Number two, he who began a good work in us will complete it. Philippians 1:6. This means that whatever any man might do to you, God will not allow anything to happen until he's finished with you here on earth. Number three, look to Jesus, not circumstances. And number four, learn what God is trying to teach you in Proverbs 3:11-26. Above all else, remember that God is in control of all circumstances and will work everything out for good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work out together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. One key verse to remember when you endure trials is James 1:2. Let's turn there. You can read this one. And James?
James 1:2.
1:2.
How can you get the easy one? Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Joy.
Keep going.
Through what?
Isn't that verse 2? Is that all of it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a short. Okay, it's not. Okay.
I was just struggling, that's why it seems so long.
Okay. All right. Anyways, okay, there you go. Okay. Another area that Christians struggle in is overcoming temptations. We are tempted in three main areas. Number one, lust of the flesh. Number two, lust of the eyes. I'm sorry. I'll let you read my notes. Number three, the pride of life. You can find that the verses in 1 John 2:15-17 is where it actually says that those are the three main areas we are tempted in. In the Garden of Eden, Eve was tempted by the lust of the eyes. In Genesis 3:6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." David was tempted by the lust of the flesh. Turn to 2 Samuel 11. I have it somewhere.
You want to read that?
Yeah, if I, yeah. Read it. Yes, 11:2-5.
Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. I don't know why a woman was bathing, but anyway. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Ur, the aged one?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Verse 6?
No, that's it. That's fine. So we can see that David was tempted by the lust of the flesh because he saw Bathsheba, and he wanted her. And so he lay with her. And so he was tempted and he gave in to the temptation. Very bad.
You're right.
Okay. Lucifer was tempted by the pride of life. He once was the most beautiful angel in heaven until his pride got him kicked out of heaven. In Isaiah 14:12-14, it says, I'll read that. In Isaiah 14:12-14 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.' Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest pit, depths of the pit." So, Lucifer was tempted, and it got him kicked out of heaven. And that's why he's in the world today, to tempt us. That's who tempts us, is Satan. However, there is good news about enduring temptation. We can have victory over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." James 4:7 says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Our victory over temptation lies in Jesus and in his word. A few verses that mention this are Ephesians 6:10, if you're writing these down, that's Ephesians 6:10. It's fine. If you guys want to write them down for your own personal reference, it's okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4, Hebrews 4:12, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and Luke 4:1 and 13. As I've mentioned before, Jesus has already overcome the world. He has overcome temptation. Jesus himself was tempted by Satan. You can read about that in Mark 1:12 and Matthew 4:1-11. Satan is a liar and wants to destroy us, 1 Peter 5:8. But the victory over temptation is ours in Jesus Christ. We have spiritual armor that God has given us to fight temptation and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Finally, one key verse to remember about temptation is James 1:12. Let's turn there together. James 1:12. Says, you guys all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, wait, it's okay.
Oh, yes.
I
know. Oh, the Hebrews and the James is just long.
Yeah, it's a little book.
It's a little tiny book. Okay.
It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day now, Father God. I just pray now, Father God, you teach us these things you would have us to learn, Father God. Help us to know and understand, Father God, that we do not have to endure trials alone, Father God, that you have overcome the trials in our life, Father God, and you will be there to comfort us and strengthen us when we go through them, Father God. And we are not going through them alone, Father God, but you are there to be our comforter, Father God, and our strength. And I just thank you, Father God, that you have overcome our temptation, Father God, and help us to always remember that when we are tempted, that you are there with us, Father God, and just to resist the temptation, and the devil will flee from us, Father God. So I just pray that you help us to remember all these things and be able to apply it to our lives throughout the rest of this week. I just pray your blessing upon the rest of this event. I just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.